Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode number 42 from November the 14th of 1992. Doc, Harper, how's it going this week? Harper first, man.
Doing all right, bro.
You ready to rock it out and do a Smoky Mountain style?
Let's do this.
You were born ready. That's okay. Doc, what about you? How you doing, man?
Podcast Jesus is locked in and loaded. Let's go.
Yes. We are coming off of a crazy week of Smoky Mountain Wrestling where the shit hit the fan last week. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
A bloodbath.
Yeah, we saw a bloodbath. I mean, it went haywire last week. So, all right, y'all. Well, let's without any further ado, let's just jump into things. We are in a new venue in Bluff City, Tennessee, at Sullivan East High School. Doc, I always like doing this whenever we're in a new venue because a new venue means you've done some research on that area of the country or city or state or town or county or whatever the fuck you want to call it. So I will throw it to you, and I'm sure you've got some information from us about Bluff City, Tennessee and Sullivan East High School.
Wait, this is a new place?
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just kidding. I got shit. All right, okay. So... Bluff City, Tennessee resides in Sullivan County. There you go with the Sullivan East. We are in, for all you geography fans, we are in northeastern Tennessee. So we are in the shitty end of the state.
Come on, man.
I don't want to be unfair. It's both ends are shitty, so... That probably was a little unfair. But we have a town of about 1,733 people at last census. So, you know, not one of these asshole towns that have less than 1,000 people. But, you know, it's still a real small town. But
that's nice of you. More insults. Good job.
We're close to Kingsport. This is actually in very close proximity to Kingsport, Tennessee, which is a larger town, you know, King of Kingsport stuff, Bo James. And that's got about 48,000 people in Kingsport. So we're not out in the sticks here. If your still blows up here, it's close enough to town that it might draw a little bit of attention. So you might want to be a little bit careful when you're cooking your shine.
Yeah, the one thing I know is the crowd didn't look as backwards.
Well, compared to what? You and I, or...
I've been seeing with these fucking rednecks, where some of them don't even got goddamn shirts on.
Right. Okay. They're hoping to catch Garvin's towel so they can just cover up their shame.
Hey, there goes the audience that Jim Cornette has sent us over the last few months. Y'all insult them.
They know. They know about their shame. So, maybe doing a little bit, but Harper does, I think his observation is true, and here's how I know it. And I'll give you some statistics to back up what Harper just said here. Now, we are 98.52% white.
Yes.
There he goes working again.
So, You two might not want to go to this town because your blackness would get you in trouble, and even the way you talk might get you in trouble. I think I looked and I can't remember, but it's like 0.15% black.
I like it already.
Oh no!
No, he goes. She's working.
But here's something that I thought was interesting. Only
okay, I gotta stop you. That's a lot of white people, man.
It sure is. They should have just named this town Crackerville.
Yeah.
Or Whiteyville. Oh, no, Doc, I got one for you before you keep going. Like in
Honky
Texas.
Hollow.
No, in the DFW area. It's called White Settlement.
White fucking, Settlement.
The town is called White Settlement. The fuck does there that tell a, you about it?
We are the fourth largest metroplex in these United States, and we have a suburb of some size that's called White Settlement. Jesus Christ. Now, back to, like I said, to Harper's point, only, now get this, only 14.7% of the population is under the poverty line. To me, that's pretty in line with, I mean, that's not that far away from like a national average. So, I mean, these people are getting up every day and they're going to work and they're saving their money and they're not just complete fuckers. Drains on the system. Okay. I like it.
All right. Very good, Doc. Thank you. Any more demographic information? Any more insights?
No, there wasn't just a lot of just other interesting facts that I could find. And really, I kind of stopped looking because I didn't really give a shit. But there's probably stuff that's tied to Kingsport, and we'll probably be there at some point, and I'll talk about Kingsport. Although I got to be careful when we talk about Kingsport. I don't want Bo James to get all hot and chase me down and blade me or something.
Didn't they have a NASCAR track around it or something?
Around
Bluff City?
Yeah, in that area.
No. Oh, there is a track in
Yeah, because I googled it something and it's something when a NASCAR popped up.
It's not in Bluff City. I know about this because my last job had a site in Gray, Tennessee. Oh, and it's not far from there. I don't know. I'm not a NASCAR guy, so anybody listening, I know we got a lot of people who listen to this that are NASCAR fans. And
I'd rather watch
trash.
I'd rather watch Mike blow all the new patrons than sit there and watch a bunch of hillbillies go round and round 200 miles around the circle.
He's playing heel.
I am not. Heel. That's the truth.
There's
the
two things.
Wants to watch that shit.
You want me to piss off every white listener we have? Here's two things I cannot watch: NASCAR and golf. You can take both of them and shove them up your ass.
Golf is the biggest. Golf is not a sport. It's a fucking game. It's like shooting pool or throwing darts. It's the same shit, except it's outside.
That would call that's a, that makes it a sport, Harper.
I'm right. So everything outside
the pants.
You're right. Harper's right on this. Which you realize we've just pissed off every white person out there because they all if I went after comic books, then we would have every white person listener identified between golf, NASCAR, and comic books.
Okay, one last thing before we get into the episode. So by now, everybody who listens to this knows where I grew up. There was no white fucking people around where I grew up. There was none. When I say none,
What about you?
I'm gonna repeat. Where I grew up, around me, there were no white folks. I had a neighbor who his dad was a big NASCAR fan.
Mm.
Loved him some NASCAR.
Okay.
So I actually knew who like Dale Earnhardt was through like him, because like on Sundays he would be watching NASCAR racing. And, you know, God bless people who like NASCAR, but watching a couple of cars go around the track a couple hundred times, it just wasn't my thing. I've had people try to explain it to me, but, you know, it ain't for
me. But you're the idiot for liking that fake hokey wrestling.
Yeah, of course. But anyway, hey, but you'd be surprised. We're going to get into this now. You'd be surprised how many actual Southern wrestling fans were NASCAR fans, too.
Oh, all of them. They're all marks.
Okay. Well, let's get into things now, finally, after we've wasted about 9 minutes just bullshitting. This week's episode, we got Dutch and Bob Cottle going to kick things off for us. And again, the signs started a few weeks back. Well, Dutch has another great one for us this week as Bob Cottle is talking about what's going on. Dutch's sign says, "Don't adjust your TV. Bob always looks this way." We are told that Cornette, the Heavenly Bodies, Tracy Smothers, the Fantastics, and the Stud Stable are on deck today. And then Dutch teases a big announcement from Bob Armstrong coming off of the heels of last week's assault and attempted murder of primetime Brian Lee by the master Kevin Sullivan. Danny Davis also interrupts the opening and tells us that he's got a big surprise for Paula Orndorff. Yes, he said Paula, not Paul. Doc, you got anything from the opening of the show?
Just one quick mention that Dutch's tie could not be any worse.
I think Dutch has great style.
Go back and look at that thing. No, I think it's purposefully bad, and that makes it awesome. But
exactly.
Jesus.
Harper, you got anything?
No.
We go into the first match. It's Reno Riggins versus Paul Orndorff. Reno Riggins has a new look to him and some kind of gear he's got on.
Isn't he like a shitty Tatanka? That's the first thing that popped into my head. It's like, oh, it's like a Tatanka impersonator.
I didn't think that until you said it just now. But you may be on to something. not that I'm picturing it in my mind. Okay. So we got a shitty Tatanka. All right.
Yeah.
Whose phone's ringing?
Well, I got a question about this. Have we seen Reno in Smoky Mountain before? I couldn't remember.
Yeah, we've seen Reno. We just haven't seen him with that outfit. That's a new gimmick he's got or something, if you want to call it that.
Okay.
He definitely looks a lot different. There's something he's got. Like Harper said, he looks like – he doesn't look like
haircut,
Tatanka.
He got a haircut except for that like little rat tail ponytail back there.
Yeah.
They missed the spot.
We get into the match, and, you know, the Paula chants are loud, and they're being repeated, so I got to give him credit. You know, we don't like this angle, but it seems to be getting over with the fans, at least in the live arenas. Somewhere during the match, Ronnie Garvin shows up to join Dutch and Bob. Garvin delivers a letter to Bob and Dutch and asks Bob Cottle and Dutch to read the letter to Paula. He emphasizes Paula later. Garvin says, make sure you read it to her. And then he walks off. Soon after, Orndorff wins with a suplex in the corner. Doc, I'll throw it to you first. What are your thoughts on the match or anything we saw there?
Well, I just want to know, and I ask these questions a lot of you guys, but for 1992, Paul Orndorff suplexed his ass into the corner, and that shit looked dangerous and just reckless, and I wanted to get you guys' opinion on that.
Yeah, I was watching that, and I was like, what the fuck's he doing? It's like he just said, "Ah, fuck you."
It was.
I agree. I guess you see that nowadays. You don't think anything of it, but
right. They do that exploder suplex now into the corner. But this is 1992 in rural Tennessee.
It didn't look right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It definitely. I'm not going to accuse Paul of doing anything dangerous, but it definitely looked, for its time, it looked like something, holy shit, did he kill that motherfucker just now? It was definitely different. So, Harper, anything else from you before I go to Orndorff's promo after the match?
No.
All right, so Paul's going to come over to the desk and cut a promo, and here it is.
Count, let's go right now and talk to Paul Orndorff standing by with Bob Caudle.
All right, Dutch, and right you are, and fans, here he is, Mr. Wonderful himself, Paul Orndorff. Paul.
What did you say? You did say Paul, didn't you?
I said Paul.
Okay.
But that's not what the fans are saying.
No, I'm sick and tired of it. I'm sick and tired of hearing it.
Ronnie Garvin came out earlier, and I don't know whether you saw Ronnie Garvin or not.
Who?
Ronnie Garvin, the man with
the... You mean the guy that stole that $15,000 robe? You know he did. And I want it back.
He's got it.
You know, well, Danny Davis paid for the price too, didn't he? And everybody I step in the ring with is going to pay the price until I get that $15,000 robe back.
He asked me to read this note to you from Bob Armstrong. And it says, Dear Mr. Garvin, in response to your request of this past week, I agree that Paul Orndorff made a verbal agreement on TV last week.
I could beat Ronnie Garvin. I could beat Danny Davis both at the same time. It's nothing to me.
Therefore, I am pleased to inform you that we have added a match to the Thanksgiving Thunder Tour schedule. Paul Orndorff versus Ronnie Garvin and Danny Davis in a handicap match. What about that, Paul? Yeah, a handicap match.
Well, maybe I'm a lot like Clinton. Says one thing and does another one, huh?
It's signed. It's sealed.
I didn't sign nothing. I don't know. Hey, how am I supposed to remember what I did a month ago? I don't know if I said that or not.
Handicap match.
I didn't sign nothing.
Thanksgiving Thunder, handicap match.
Well, big deal. So what?
You got to take them both on, right? In the handicap match. All right, fans, there it is. That's from Mr. Wonderful.
You heard this.
We'll be back. We're going to have more right after we take this time out.
I don't remember talking. I just signed up.
Harper, was that the interview you were talking about where you thought that he said the F word, or is it another one?
No.
Okay.
That's later on.
Okay. All right, I wasn't sure because I know you texted me about that.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, I didn't hear it there, but what were your thoughts, Harper? What were your thoughts from that one?
He seemed kind of lost, huh?
I thought so, too.
I don't know what happened at the end of it. That was kind of weird, but I did think that, like, during it, I will repeat it again. I think this whole angle has been kind of meh to me, but I don't blame it on Paul Orndorff because he's doing everything under the sun to get the shit over, and that's what I liked about it. But at the end, it felt like something was going on there that, you know, like there may have been a brain fart or something. I don't know. It was hard to tell. Definitely something was weird. But, Doc, your thoughts?
Man, my note was Orndorff is trying his damn best to get this angle over, but he still can't find the right camera.
He never looks at the camera. You know that? He's always looking at Bob. He's always looking at Dutch. He's never looking at the camera. It's great. I don't know. I don't have anything else. There's more to come on this later in the episode. So, and then next week. So I'm just kind of like, you know, whatever. We'll get to that. But I do think he's still trying his best to get the shit over, which I like.
Yeah.
We go from that to a local promo. It's Tim Horner and the Rock and Roll Express. I'll play it at the end for everyone. I don't want to spend time on another Tim Horner promo. I'm at a Tim Horner overdose, especially given that, guess what? Right after the local promo, there's another Tim Horner promo. So,
I liked it. I like his promos.
Do you? Speak for yourself. You're in the minority.
It made me feel smart.
What was that thing you said that time when you were like, if I didn't know any better, I would think that he was special?
He didn't say special.
Yeah, you didn't say special.
I'm not going to say it.
I'm not going to repeat
it. I don't use words like that.
Me either. I'm a good Christian boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. With that said, from the local promo, it is time, unfortunately, to hear from Tim Horner during the regular episode of that everyone saw. So here it is.
All right, if fans with me right now, here's White Lightning, Tim Horner. Welcome, Tim. And I tell you, I've really been excited about Thanksgiving Thunder. I'm even more so now because I know you are, too, about a lumberjack match.
We couldn't be more excited than I am, Bob Collin, because I finally got the dirty white boy where I want him. You know, here lately, he's been running. He's been hiding behind Ron Wright, hiding behind Smoky Mountain Wrestling. He don't want to get in the ring. I have to chase him everywhere. You know, he broke the bottle and tried to hang me and everything. Well, I'm going to get my dues, and he's going to get his in Thanksgiving Thunder. And I can't wait because it's a lumberjack match. Eight guys around the ring, dirty white boy. Run if you want to, hide if you want to, but they're going to throw you right back in there to me. I may throw you out just to get to throw you back in, but nevertheless, when I come up there and I come into Thanksgiving Thunder, there's going to be a whole lot of thunder and a lot of lightning.
All right, fans, that's it. And, boy, it's Tim Horner looking forward to Thanksgiving Thunder, as we are, and I know all you wrestling fans are. Talking about wrestling, let's go to the ring right now.
I just want to fucking take two pencils and poke my eyes out listening to that motherfucker.
Why? That's not going to do anything. Your ears still work.
It's true, dude.
And then you'd just be blind and pissed off.
That's true.
That wasn't bad for him.
Well, it's because it was semi-short.
Yeah.
But
my note here was, Jesus Christ, I'm running out of things to say about him. But... Yeah. What are we going to do when he leaves? Because he ain't here forever. He's here for too long.
Yeah.
We'll revisit the stupidity from time to time just to get a good laugh. It's the only thing I can think of.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like the one where he says, if you want to jump on me, jump on. If you can't get tired, I'll take over. And I was like, that sounds like an R. Kelly song.
It's the freaking weekend. I'm about to have me some fun.
Okay, go from the Tim Horner promo. We got Paul Lee and Jeff Daniels, who I think this Jeff Daniels guy is kind of new. And
I believe it's his first TV appearance.
I think so. Versus the Rock and Roll. Just a couple things from this match. They sell Gibson's hand injury and how it's taped up due to the Heavenly Body's damage in it previously. You know, we'll see what more comes of that. And in quick fashion, the Rock and Roll hit Daniels with a double drop kick for the win. Doc, you have anything from this match? Just real quick.
R&R is over and impressive win.
Agree. What about you, Hopper? Anything?
No, it's just, it was exactly what I expected.
Yeah. The Rock and Roll getting a win.
Yeah.
As you, you know, just get put a TV match out there. Okay, we go from that to the Heavenly Bodies and Jim Cornette, and they're cutting a promo. So there's a lot to talk about here related to
there sure as shit is
certain someone's appearance. And I posted this on the on our tinyurl.com/BTTYouTube page a few weeks back. So that everyone could see it, if even if they're not watching along with us, they can go to that quick 2-minute promo clip. But here it is, and let's hear it, and then we'll discuss.
Right here on Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Let's go right now to Bob Caudill standing by with Jim Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies.
All right, Dutch, and right you are, and fans, here they are, the Heavenly Bodies, Jim Cornette. We just talked about, and we mentioned the four faces of fear in there, Jim Cornette.
Yeah, hey, you want to know what the face of fear is? Look at the faces on these people. This crowd looks like a giant casting call for the part of Boo Radley in the remake of To Kill a Mockingbird, but that may be too obscure a reference for this clientele, right, Stan?
You know, some of the end of November is a time of giving thanks. And believe you me, Jim Cornette's Heavenly Bodies have plenty to be thankful for. We're the best-looking team in professional wrestling. Every morning we get up, look in the mirror, and see that we're better looking, and we're thankful for that, Bob Caudill. We're also thankful because we're the champions. We got the gold, and the most of all, the most important thing that we're thankful for, Mr. Caudill, is the fact that we're going to put an end to the Rock and Roll Express for good. Right, Tom?
You see, for 4 days of Thanksgiving Thunder, your lives are going to be complete and total hell, Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson, because for 4 days, 4 continuous days in Thanksgiving Thunder, we can either rub your face in barbed wire, we can destroy you in a Texas death match, or we can take you where falls count, wherever we want in the building. And we will, at Thanksgiving Thunder, we will end the Rock and Roll Express career once and for all.
Bob Caudill, Friday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, November 26th through 29th, Hazard, Kentucky, Welch, West Virginia, Johnson City, Tennessee, Knoxville, Tennessee, one place or another, Rock and Roll Express, you're going to play the part of Napoleon, and we're going to be Waterloo.
All right, fans. Thanksgiving Thunder, what an event it's going to be. We'll be back. We'll have more right after this.
I'll throw it to Doc first. Go ahead, Doc.
Where's his hair?
Yeah.
Wallace Stanfield Lane, if you're listening, that fake Stan Lane, where's your fucking pelt at, man?
I can't explain to you how much better he looks standing there without that thing on.
Yeah, like I didn't see the reason why he wore it.
I mean, he was thinning a little bit. And I'm sure for him it felt like a lot because, you know, as you get older and these things, you know, your hairline recedes a little bit the first time, you're like, holy shit. I mean, Harper's been bald since he was 9 years old. But for the
That's nice.
Well, and actually, Menace, you're bald too. I don't know.
Fuck.
I guess I should tell you people what it's like to have hair.
Black men look good bald, so it's good.
Yeah, it's true. Y'all are pulling it off.
Y'all confuse people so much on this show. Go keep going, Doc.
I would argue that we have a large percentage of our audience that automatically thought you two were black, so that you two are confusing the audience, but whatever.
You're confusing them by flip-flopping on who's black and who's white. Now get to fucking Wallace Stanfield Lane's pelt that's missing.
He just looks so much better standing there without that thing on. It's like, why did you do this in the fucking first place?
I don't know. But it's funny to contrast it, though. I posted both videos. I posted episode 15 promo when he first showed up with the coon skin. And you see it, and you're like, whoa. Because, I mean, it's like a poof. It looks like a fucking, like Corny said, the rays of the sun were hitting from behind. It looked like a big old sun on his head. And then so you see the first promo he shoots with it. And then when you contrast it with this, you're like, holy shit, that shit was thick and fat on his head.
It was, but so that's good for Stan because he doesn't look as silly anymore. Corny is just confusing the shit out of his audience by using all these historical references and literary references.
Yeah.
There's not a chance anybody in that building in that paid to get in knows what he's talking about there, which is awesome. And let me just say this, for everything that's swirling around it, because I left this for last because I don't want it to get buried, Dr. Tom is outstanding here. So he's got a partner that's ripped off his coonskin cap. His manager's making all kinds of crazy references, but don't get confused or let it get lost. The Dr. Tom cut a great promo. He looked serious about this shit. He was looking in the camera. He was delivering the goods. Everybody out there gave us something fucking fantastic.
Oh yeah, they're setting it up. I mean, look. As of now, we're only 2 weeks away from Thanksgiving Thunder, so they're selling the piss out of it in all these matches.
And I got some. There's a longer discussion of this in episode 43, and I've got some comments and questions about that. We'll save that for next week. So you guys will have to just join. You'll have to just download next week to hear those.
Yeah, subscribe to the show. Make sure you get them all. iTunes, yeah. Give us a 5-star review while you're at it. Matter of fact, pause it right now and give us a 5-star review if you can. Go ahead, Harper, you got anything about this one?
Yeah, they just let them know that, fuck, you know, we mean business.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to fuck y'all up.
Yeah, it's going down.
Yeah.
It's going down at Thanksgiving Thunder. That sounds like a hell of a weekend. Thursday, Friday, God. Saturday, and Sunday.
God damn.
Save it. Save it for next week.
Yeah, okay, I will. No more. Okay, we'll go from that, and I got to be honest. As good of a promo as that was from all of them, it's still in my mind. The pelt's gone. It's gone. And it made me think of when I talked to Cornette on his show, and he's like, one day Stan just showed up, and it was gone.
You're right. My first note on here before I had to go back and start it over so that I could listen to the content was, the pelt is gone with like 5 exclamation points.
That's exactly what I have noted down. Stanfield Lane's beaver pelt is gone, 5 exclamation points. All right. Well, we go from Stanfield Lane's beaver pelt being now missing to Down and Dirty with Dutch. And this is broken up into a few parts. First thing Dutch does is introduce it, and then they reshow the footage, but with a black spot over where Sullivan was bludgeoned to death by, or where Primetime Brian Lee was bludgeoned to death by Sullivan. So that's the first part. Did y'all want to share anything there before I play
yes.
Bob Armstrong?
Yes.
What'd you want to mention?
I love the fact that they said they're getting complaints about the graphic nature of this. That's awesome, because they weren't. But why does everything have to be true? You know,
yeah.
Work it.
Well, exactly. Look at politicians nowadays.
Exactly. The black circle over his face was just a great touch. Just this shit was so bad we can't even show you again.
Well, yeah. And here's the part of that too. What if you missed last week?
And you're imagining what his face looks like.
Yeah.
And the imagination is probably worse than the actuality. Because you're working people.
Worse. It's 10 times worse.
Mm-hmm.
Shocking. It's 10 times worse. In your mind, you're thinking, that motherfucker's face must have looked like ground chuck for them
to do
that to.
They can't show it to me.
Yes.
And the way they're building him up, because they're building him up by saying he's banned in the United States.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, agree.
So, but the other thing I wanted to ask you guys, because in hindsight, because I rewatch it. Sometimes if there's recaps, I'm like, move forward. I rewatched this because it was so wheels off in a chaotic way that I love, and just chaotic. But here's my note. I'm surprised in hindsight that the people in the crowd weren't more active. You know, like, were they shocked? Were they scared?
No, they were shocked.
They were just shocked, like, because they'd never seen shit like that there.
Yeah, maybe they have, because, I mean, where were they at? They were in Hayside, right, for that one?
Last week, I think so.
You can't say that region hadn't seen some crazy shit because of Ron Wright and the shit he used to do to people.
Right.
But at the same time, this is the time period to me where wrestling was getting that, oh, that shit's fake, that shit's fake, that shit's fake. Nobody wants to watch it. And then, so you're in the crowd, and you're going to see some happy wrestling, and, you know, I'm going to see the guys entertain me. And, you know, they show the people in the crowd. Sometimes they're laughing while they're booing and whatnot. And then that shit happens, and it's chaotic, and you got a motherfucker just gushing blood, and they're selling it like it's real. Even Bob and Dutch are doing something they never do, which is
right.
They're down at ringside.
Right.
The cameraman. Selling it.
The cameraman. That's what that was my point. Is after the cameraman got up and got hit, and Caudle's down at ringside, I'm just shocked that there was somebody in that crowd that was like, this is fucked up. This ain't right. This isn't real. This is off script. They took our jobs and just said, fuck it. I'm going to the ring and helping out poor Tom Bradley.
Well, no. I my point is that, again, you're in a time period where people are like, that wrestling shit's fake, and wrestling's in a down period. And people, they're watching this going, wait, I know I think that shit's fake, but this motherfucker's getting mauled to death. And they're just in shock. They're sitting there watching like, holy shit. That would be my thoughts on it.
Here's the other thing I thought. As I rewatched it, Sullivan has that damn robe tied on great because it takes him a couple of seconds to get it untied. But he goes instantaneously for the spike. He whips that fucker out and starts spiking just like it was a natural extension of his hand.
Yeah.
It was so awesome.
Yeah, because he didn't pull it out real slow or show it to the fans. He just whipped it out and just started going to town on them.
Wasted no time. Hey!
And here's the thing.
Hey!
We've talked a lot in the past about smaller wrestlers and whatever. But Sullivan's a short dude, but man, he gets everything out of his size. And he's so hard charging and forward charging and just wild assed that you forget that he's 5'8".
Oh, he was short, but I mean, let's not forget Sullivan was thick.
Oh yeah, he's thick like a tick.
I mean, in his prime, I mean, he was a heavy lifting dude, son of a gun.
He was a bodybuilder.
Yeah, he wasn't no small dude. All right, well, let's play now. This is after they show the recap. This is Bullet Bob Armstrong with Dutch Mantel, and you know, for Dirty Dutch being the Dirty Dutch, you know, that is a bad guy. He doesn't like this Kevin Sullivan guy. So here it is.
That was very graphic footage, Mr. Armstrong, and last week I apologized to all the fans. The whole show became out of control, and I don't blame you for your action in suspending Kevin Sullivan.
But let me think about this just a minute. I've thought about it all week, and let me put it this way to you. I've done a little research, and I found out Kevin Sullivan, the reason he had such a bad grudge against us as a whole, Smoky Mountain Wrestling and myself, is because when we first started, Kevin Sullivan wanted to come in here and wrestle. But you know as well as I do, Dutch, he had a bad reputation. Mm-hmm. He can't even wrestle in this country. That's why you don't see him on TV anymore. He has to go overseas to wrestle. So I didn't want him here. I didn't need another problem. So he held this grudge, and he finally picked his chance. And I feel responsible because I let him come back here and wrestle primetime Brian Lee. And when I entered that ring last week and I saw what a bad condition Brian Lee was in, he was stitched up, bleeding, I did lose control. I apologize for that. Now, I'm going to ban him from TV right off the bat. I'm not going to take that back. But if he wants to be so bad as to come in here and wrestle somebody, I don't want him to get away with what he did. He's come in here. He's laid primetime Brian Lee out. I mean, no telling how long he'll be out. He's hurt bad, and he's leaving to get away with it. I ain't going to go for that. Mm-hmm. He's going to pay for it, and I'll tell you why. Because I know a man that is just as big and bad, who's been suspended for more territories than any human being, and I know that he's bad because I've had personal experiences with him. He can chop you down like a big old tree with them big hands of his, and I know he's one of the meanest men. So, Kevin Sullivan, if you want a part of this, if you want to get part of the real bad men in this wrestling organization, Thanksgiving Thunder, you're going to see the baddest of them all, and I know. Let's take a look at the Mongolian Stomper.
Okay, I paused it there, Doc and Harper, because they show footage of the Mongolian Stomper, and man, I don't know. I love when they would show things like that to us. So, Harper, you got any thoughts on one Bullet Bob commentary and then the video package they show?
Well, I'm just glad they explained why he was so pissed.
Yeah, Sullivan, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, because it would make sense for them to explain what the hell and why and whatnot.
Right.
And, again, regional promotion back then, pre-internet for the most part. Well, not for the most part, but pre-internet. So your people would not – you could sell something like that. No one would question the fact that he was banned everywhere. Doc, your thoughts before we go to the finish of Down and Dirty.
I just love this old footage and tying it together, and that the fact that, you know, Smoky Mountain's been around for less than a year, but these things bubble. I mean, there was wrestling before this and outside of this, and we're acknowledging it and showing it, and it's just something new and different to see that footage because, you know, for us, we didn't see that. So it just helps build the story that there's this whole thing here, and that B.A., you know, Armstrong is like, I don't like the Stomper, but shit. You know?
Yeah, I'm going to bring somebody in to deal with him. Okay.
Yeah. So
we go from that, and now we're going to wrap up Down and Dirty with Dutch right here with this is after the video package with the Stomper.
Well, after watching that footage, Mr. Armstrong, I can say that you two guys looked as bad off as Brian Lee did last week.
Well, that's exactly what I meant by personal experience. Now, I called the Stomper. He's so bad, I don't even like to talk to him over the phone. It's the first civil conversation I've ever had with him, but I wanted to correct a wrong that I felt I had caused, and I wanted to make sure I had his word that he'd be here on Thanksgiving Thunder. And Kevin Sullivan, you talking about bad, B is in bad news, A is in atrocious, and D is in disaster, destruction, and devastation. You're going to find out at Thanksgiving Thunder, because the big, bad Mongolian Stomper's going to leave you looking twice as bad as prime time.
Well, there you heard it, fans. Commissioner Bob Armstrong, it's getting heavy, and it's getting hot in Smoky Mountain. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I thought that was awesome what Bullet Bob did right there. Doc, go
Bullet
ahead.
Bob is fired. Bullet Bob is fired the fuck up. You know, he came out as kind of deputy dog for the last few weeks, and he's admitted his mistakes, and now he is going to be the law, goddammit.
Yeah.
It's almost like he's his manager.
Yeah. In a way, I mean, he's pissed off. And I go back to what Cornette said. Right there, he is the Bill Watts of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. If you know anything about Bill Watts and how he was in Mid-South, Cornette pegged it. That Bullet Bob's playing that role perfect. And I like it. He's pissed off. He's mad. He let this guy in, and now he's like, you know what? Screw this. We're going to deal with this idiot. Doc, anything else before we move to the next segment?
No, good stuff. I'm heavily, heavily invested in this angle.
Okay. So I might pause it at a point, but let me hit the play button. I'm not even going to tell y'all what's happening. I just want you all to hear it. What's coming up next?
Fans, Smoky Mountain Commissioner Bob Armstrong has banned Kevin Sullivan from appearing live on television, but he couldn't legally stop him from buying time on the program. Therefore, before this segment, I must read this disclaimer from Smoky Mountain attorney Christopher Capps of Capps, Cantwell, and Capps in Morristown, Tennessee. This is a paid commercial announcement. Smoky Mountain Wrestling is not responsible and does not necessarily agree with or condone any viewpoints expressed by Kevin Sullivan. Now, let's go to the tape.
All right, I paused it there, Doc, because it's just so hokey what's about to happen.
Yeah.
But it's great.
I said my exact note to that point is Sullivan is buying time. This is hokey, but what I really mean is this is glorious.
Yeah. Well, okay, so Dutch and Bob, when they make this announcement right here, are at the debate desk, or the desk as I call it, with the Smoky Mountain wooden sign behind them. And Bob Cottle, you know, we can't give him a promo, but through our Smoky Mountain Wrestling attorney, he can pay for an advertisement. I just thought that was awesome. So
he's too bad to let him on the show. He's too bad to let him on the show, but we'll sell our souls. That's
We'll sell an ad. Now, here's the other part too. What you're about to hear, there's an occasional paid advertisement logo or graphic at the bottom of the screen.
Now, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Menace. Do you know what the song is that is the lead-in for him to speak?
I'm familiar with it, but I couldn't tell you the artist and the name of the song. I mean, I know what that song is.
Christ all fucking mighty. Do you believe this shit, Harper?
That's your people.
No, it's your people, man.
Okay, who the fuck is it then, asshole?
Well, only perhaps the what many would perceive to be the greatest rock band in the history of rock and roll music. Does that help you at all?
You got a second.
It's Quiet Riot.
Hit play. It's Motley Crue.
Jesus Christ.
Led Zeppelin. People,
well, now that's the first credible answer. You're wrong, but you're starting to enter the ballpark, and I'm proud of you for even knowing that the name.
I'm gonna shock the fans. I used to like some of Led Zeppelin stuff.
What? Jesus, what a stretch, what a shock!
Stairway to Heaven and shit. Oh, that was some good shit back in the day.
Okay, so this is the Rolling Stones, dude.
Oh, okay, the Rolling Stones. Who are they again?
And the song, and the reason it's being used,
Pleased
again,
to Meet You.
Well, it's no, the name of the song, and this is why it's important to tie back to wrestling, moron, is the name of the song is Sympathy for the Devil, but Kevin Sullivan never says he's the devil, but the song is Sympathy for the Devil, so it's clever.
That's a good thing, and you know what's funny about this? When they finally put this up on the WWE Network, they're either going to cut this out,
right,
or there'll be some other dubbed over bullshit in place of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I'm afraid to click on this when I go, like, for the vault. I see, I'm like, oh, look. I'm like, don't. That's the water down. Just keep going.
Have you watched, I don't want to get off track here too much, but if you've watched any of what JYD does when he comes out, I don't know what that shit is that they have dubbed over Another One Bites the Dust. It doesn't do it for me. But anyway, all right, here it is. Kevin Sullivan cutting a promo, a paid advertisement. This is wild and crazy and just insane, but here it is for you.
Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste. I've been around for a long, long year. Stole many a man's soul and faith.
Look, it's the master, he's coming.
Bob Armstrong. Commissioner Bob Armstrong. The cartage of Brian Lee belongs to you. The busted, twisted body belongs to you. It is on your head that it rests. You see, Commissioner Armstrong, if it wasn't for my benevolent self, he would be hooked up to an embalming bottle. All I ever wanted, Commissioner Armstrong, was a chance to come into Smoky Mountain Wrestling. But no, you said, just like the other federations, I was too violent. Commissioner Armstrong, it was never proven. It was never proven. It was allegations, lies, and innuendos. You see, Commissioner Armstrong, this is just the beginning. You see, wrestling has gone through a change. They want to sanitize wrestling. Get the violence out of wrestling. Make it a kiddie show. Well, I'm not for kids, you see. You see, Bob Armstrong, this is the face of a man that was sent to the Sea of Exile, strapped to the Tree of Woe, and told never to return, that I was not a good influence, Bob Armstrong. That men like Brian Lee were the type of people that the children and the rest of society could look up to.
No.
That I and my followers are the type of people that is what's wrong with this society today. Commissioner Armstrong, it is because of you and people that pass judgment is why I'm here. You see, Brian Lee is not the first. They can sanitize wrestling all they want, the big organizations. But this is Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Smoky Mountain.
This is where it's all real, Commissioner.
Real.
Starting from me. I told you what I was going to do. And now, it's Thanksgiving Day Thunder.
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving Day Thunder, a day that I love. I love thunder. I love lightning. I love it when the moon is full and people howl. You see, Bob Armstrong, you've made another mistake.
Mistake.
Peace has spread out among the land. The Cold War's over.
It's over.
You've reached over to an old enemy who's become a friend. You've grasped his hand and said, there is no more Russia, there is no Mongolia, there's just peace.
Peace.
Mongolian Stomper.
Stomper.
At one time, you were a warrior.
Warrior.
At one time, you knew the taste of blood, Stomper.
Blood.
At one time, your heart ran black and cold. Thanksgiving night. Thanksgiving Day Thunder. Stomper. I'm gonna show the people you are no longer the warrior.
No longer.
But an errand boy.
Boy.
For the commissioner. Commissioner, the difference between you and myself, my followers believe in me. They believe that with me, they will reach the promised land. And that is sitting on top of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And the sins that we commit will be on your head.
Pleased to meet you. Hope you guess my name.
Jesus Christ. Go ahead. It was, that was long, but damn.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's my statement at this. This is my note. I wanted to write this down so I didn't forget it for this morning. So okay. There are people there. I'm going to read this so it's not as natural as my normal, wonderful broadcast voice.
Oh, fuck so, you.
So there are people that would hate on this interview. Those people are stupid. I love this so much.
Yeah.
I think there's someone shooting in the background.
Yeah! I had that note. It was like they're by a gun range or something.
Well, they're on Corny's property.
Yeah.
He said that. And there's a yippy dog in the background at the beginning.
Yeah.
And so maybe we need to set the stage if you're not watching along. They're outside, obviously, and sitting in front of a little campfire. It's like a paid programming gay Game of Thrones.
I wouldn't call it that.
The Night Stalker standing there like a +3 mage in some role-playing game. And basically, to me, I love the visual and the campiness and the hokiness of him being out there. I picked up more of the nuance just listening to it than I did watching it, because I was distracted by the things I was seeing as well. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's always the case whenever you just hear the audio versus when you're looking, because you're using more of your ears more than anything. But yeah, I agree.
It goes on too long, though.
Yeah, it's long, but look, I mean, some people call it stupid, but I'm not.
He said something real important in there. And it's something that the old timers always say, whether it's within a card or whatever it is, that other shit's fake, but that guy's real.
Yeah.
He said it. He goes, the other federations can clean up wrestling, but this is Smoky Mountain where it's real. And that was good.
A kiddie show.
Yeah, that was at the very beginning. He's like, they made wrestling a kiddie show. And he's right.
Yeah, so Harper, what did you think when you first fired this up?
I love the sidekick. The guy that repeats what he's saying. He reminds me of like in those, like in the 80s cartoons when they had like the bad guy and he has like the little henchman that just kind of, that's his bitch.
Exactly it. Yes.
That's who he reminded me of like the little guy that just kind of like laughs at what he says. And I'll be honest with you, I think the visual would have been better if it was at nighttime with the fire burning.
Yeah, I agree. Either that or in the daytime with the fire burning, but they shot this at exactly the wrong time of day to shoot it.
Yeah, it's like at 5 o'clock and it's, you know.
Yeah, the lighting was crazy. The lighting was a little weird on it. Yeah, I thought so too. Yeah, it was good though, man. It's Sullivan. So it is on Cornette's property at the time, and when they're doing this, and I it did sound like that. Like Harper, you could hear a gun being fired off in the background.
You could hear a pow pow.
Yeah. All right. Well, anything else before we move on from Sullivan?
One last thing. So we saw the tape of the Stomper, and I'm going to go out on a limb that says, you know, we've heard a lot about the Stomper in the past, but that's probably, you know, we probably, all three of us, haven't seen much of the Stomper, but you get the idea of what's coming here. And him and Sullivan, how many actual wrestling holes do you think will be applied in this match on Thanksgiving?
Not a lot.
How many were applied when Sullivan mauled Primetime
exactly.
Brian Lee to death?
Exactly. Let me just say this. There's a lot of this stuff that I don't, because I'm the one that's gone all the way through it. But there's a lot of stuff I don't remember because it's been a while and I kind of went through some of this stuff faster than other parts. Let me just say I remember this match. And that's all I'll say.
Okay. Yeah, we're coming. We're coming up to it. We'll get to it. All right. We go from Kevin Sullivan's promo to Robbie Eagle versus Tracy Smothers. Wild ass, boy. I'm sure we've had this discussion a few times, but you notice how for the most part Smoky Mountain protects its stars and puts wins under their belt when they come into the territory. You know, you don't see 50-50 booking at first. I mean, or I don't know if it's at first, but generally at all, for the most part. You bring Smothers in here, you get him some wins. Smothers hits his finisher off the top rope with his flying back elbow, I guess is what I'd call it. During the match, Cottle asked Dutch about Sullivan. Even Dutch said, that guy scares me, which should say a lot because Dutch doesn't say that about anyone else at this point in time. Doc, your thoughts on the match and maybe any other commentary before we move forward?
I thought Eagle actually got in some nice offense with some nice chops there in the middle. So there's that. Did you see the one girl that when like they cut to when Smothers was coming to the ring, this girl looked like she was just already riding a big strap on. She was so excited seeing Tracy Smothers, man.
The brunette?
Put it, my note here was she looked like she was riding a Sibian.
I didn't see it. No. Harper, you saw it?
Yeah. Well, doesn't it seem like Robbie Eagle must go heel and face sometimes, huh?
He's a tweener.
Yeah. They do that. They've done that with some of the enhancement talent so far. I have noticed that. Doc pointed that out weeks ago.
Small roster.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever happened to Tommy Angel?
Yeah, he was one of the ones they did that with. I don't know. We haven't seen him in a while. We haven't seen him. We haven't seen Hector. Barry Horowitz. Well, whatever happened to Carl Stiles? Where's Stiles, Dutch?
Yeah.
Where's Stiles? Hey, Dutch, where's Stiles?
His eyes fixed.
Hector's going.
I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk. Bob Cottle, stop talking to me and ask me what happened to Carl Stiles. Well, it was one of the early angles of Smoky Mountain.
Remember, Ivan Koloff was in this damn promotion at the beginning.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, him and Vladimir were. Sure were. Lots of faces have come through here. All right, we go from that match that Smothers won to a dream match update between it's interrupted by Cornette. This is quick. I'm going to play it because I think there's some funniness here, but this is Dutch reading the next dream match that's coming up soon.
Our dream match winner this week is Christy Newman of Knoxville, Tennessee, who wants to see the Fantastics versus the Stud Stable. And Christy wins a package of Smoky Mountain Wrestling souvenirs worth over $50. and is eligible for the all-expenses-paid trip to Thanksgiving Thunder in Knoxville, November the 29th. Limousine tickets to the matches and dinner with their favorite wrestler and more.
All right, fans. Now, next week, the dream match, get this one. The dream match, the Heavenly Bodies and Jim Cornette against the Rock and Roll Express and Bob Armstrong in a six-man tag. Now, Bob Armstrong felt that it would be a conflict of interest for him to wrestle, so he is designated as his replacement, Ronnie Garvin, the man with the hands of stone. So next week, the Rock and Roll and Ronnie Garvin, the man with the hands of stone, against Heavenly Body and Jim Cornette. Wait a minute.
What are you talking about? What is he trying to do?
Wait a minute.
You're going to get me killed.
All right. Fans, let's... wait a minute. Let's...
You can't put me in the ring with a gun.
Cornette's going crazy here. Let's go to the ring.
Kill somebody.
Doc, any thoughts?
Effective as hell. It just nothing. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing to. It's just awesome. It's just
yeah. Quick. You know what I liked about it? It was just quick and to the point. There's no other way to say it. It was just quick. They didn't waste no time with it. To the point. You know, they make the announcement. He's pissed off. You know, that's how you do it. That's just how you do it. So, I was good with that. All right. We then go from there to the main event of tonight's show, and it is the Fantastics versus the Stud Stable. We got us a great matchup here. It's a number one contender match for the tag titles, according to Dutch. The match starts, and at first they're talking about Cornette's reaction to having to face Garvin in the Rock and Roll. Dutch says Bullet Bob is using this opportunity to throw Ronnie Garvin in there to get Cornette, and it's not right because... Bullet Bob, he's basically excused himself from the match. And Ronnie Garvin's going to take his place since he's a commissioner. Ron Wright joins us on commentary, and him and the Dirty White Boy, it's nothing great. There's nothing notable, but they're just solid, if I can say that. It's not bad. It's a single this time, not a grand slam, if you want to call it anything. Now, let me ask you this, Harper and Doc, both of you. Do you got any thoughts here before I go to the part where Dutch gets involved? I'll throw it to Harper first.
Before he gets involved? No.
Yeah. Okay. Doc, what about you?
No.
Okay. So, all right. And I said before Dutch gets involved, because that's kind of like a timestamp in this match. The referee gets bumped, and Dutch heads to the ring. Dutch appears to help the Fantastics at first. I mean, he seems to be like he's on their side, which is kind of strange, but whatever. Cotto and the Dirty White Boy and Wright on commentary are confused when they see this. Before long, the match turns into a four-way. Jackie Fulton is the legal man, and he goes to the top rope to hit Golden with a move. Dutch appears to pull Golden out of the way. Jackie then takes a bump, appearing to hurt his leg. Golden gets on top for the pin on Jackie. Dutch hits the quickest three count you'll ever see. We go to commercial at that point. So, Doc, what were your thoughts on that match and how it all ended and Dutch getting involved?
Dutch is not a very good referee.
You don't say, but okay.
No, he's actually really good because he's in there bumbling around. And, sometimes try singing off, really off-key. Like Glenn goes off-key sometime or out of the beat. It's harder than you think because your body wants to, be in rhythm. So... I think it was a good job. Overall, though, and this may be interesting, different take than you were expecting, to me the match was a little disappointing because I was just kind of ready to see these four guys beat the piss out of each other and have a match.
Yeah, this wasn't the best main event. I agree. I don't really have much else to say. It's kind of weird. The thing is, Harper, I'll let you go ahead. What were you about to say?
Yeah, I was waiting to see him just fucking throw down.
Mm-hmm. The thing is about these two teams, too? They've given us so much gold over the last, 8 months, 9 months. I guess it gets to the point where it's like, well, shit. I mean, they can't top. You're going to have times when, kind of like the Saturday night we did a few weeks back, like the January 11th episode. It wasn't terrible, but it was like, well, you can't hit a grand slam every freaking week. And I think that, that's what this week was. I mean, not the whole week, but the Fantastics and the Stud Stable right here.
Yeah.
All right, we then wrap that up, and it's Orndorff cuts a very good local promo. I'll play it at the end for everyone.
Nah, you should play it here.
Okay, you want to react to it?
I do.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Let me get to it.
in Hazard taking on Dixie Dynamite.
You know something? I could think of a lot of other places that I would rather be than in Hazard, Kentucky. A coal mining town. You know, it doesn't take a lot of intelligence to go down in a buggy 2 or 3 miles in the ground and come out. I'm telling you one thing, when Mr. Wonderful comes to that town, I'm going to take care of some business on my own. If Ronnie Garvin was all the man that he says he is, he wouldn't be sending this little Dixie Dynamite punk to face Mr. Wonderful, the man who rules Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And then I hear the kids get in for 57 cents. I better not hear those little curtain climbers hollering Mr. Wonderful or getting on to my case. Because Dixie Dynamite, when it's all over and done with, I'm going to stick you just like I did Danny Davis. And you people out there saw just a week or 2 weeks ago what I'd done to him. And Ronnie Garvin, this whole thing, you and I, sometime, someplace, we're going to be in Hazard, Kentucky. And when it's done, the same thing's going to happen to you.
Hazard, Kentucky, man, that's a brutal town based on Bo James. Doc, you wanted me to play it, so go ahead and react.
Well, I thought that was Harlan, Kentucky, that Bo James.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay.
Hazards were
Hazards
where Bo and Luke Duke hang out.
Yeah.
First of all, great promo right there. Short. I love it when somebody says they're going to stick somebody with the pile driver. Just a great, great way to say it. I just loved him shooting on how stupid you had to be to go down in the ground and get coal. And then the reason I wanted to play this again, and I'm glad we did, was he says for the 57 cents, he calls the kids, I think he calls them curtain climbers.
Yeah.
But at first I put down, and the reason I asked is I wanted to hear what you guys thought. I had turd globbers, and I didn't know what that was. So
I didn't have a lot of notes from it.
I think we solved the mystery there. But okay. I thought it was a really, really short, good promo, and it was better to me than what he did earlier, actually, on the show.
Yeah, I agree. Hopper, your thoughts?
Yeah, it was just a perfect heel promo. He fucking talked shit about the town and about the fans, and he told them not to chant Paula, which they're going to do anyway, probably more.
Right, well, which is why he did it.
Right, exactly, so... It was a perfect heel promo.
Here's something. I'm glad you stopped me, Doc, to play it, because you notice this is the first time we've seen Orndorff on a local promo that I can remember. Y'all notice that?
If not, it's been a while.
Yeah.
Okay. And it coincides with what Cornette said to me about, you know, he knew Paul would do the TV, but it would be... Just based on price, it would be hard to get him to some of the local shows. So Orndorff, if I heard Cornette correctly, Orndorff did a lot of the TV shoots, but he wasn't at the local shows. So that was a nice touch. I mean, if you think about it from Cornette's point of view, it's like, hell, if we're gonna bring him into this local show, house show that's not non-televised, we need to make sure we get him cutting a promo, that way the people know he'll be there. I thought that was a nice little touch there. Just my thought. But we go from that to ending promo. And here's the thing with this. It's real quick and effective. And to me, with this promo, less is more. And it's kind of next. It sets up some things next week, which I think is funny. So here it is. My bad. It's the Rock and Roll Express from Ronnie Garvin.
All right, fans. These three right here are looking forward to that six-man tag team match with the Heavenly Bodies and Jim Cornette. Right,
oh,
Ronnie
next
Garvin?
Next week, we're going to have us a party next week. Personally, I've got one thing in mind. I'm going to take care of Jim Cornette while my two partners here are going to take care of the rest.
That's right, Bob. You know, Jimmy Cornette always come out here running his big mouth, telling the whole world what he's going to do to the Rock and Roll Express. But you see, Jimmy Cornette, we always have an ace in the hole. I'm talking about the hands of stone, Ronnie Garvin. So stick your nose in that ring, baby, and bam, 1, 2, 3, out goes the lights, baby. Yeah.
All right, fans, it's the dream match, the six-man tag team dream match right here next week. We'll see you then, and until then, so long for now.
All right, I'll throw it to you, Doc, your thoughts.
It just quick and effective, in and out. Nothing of note, but just it did the job. It set the tone, and it put you off air with here's what's going on next week.
I thought the exact same thing. Hopper, you?
Yeah. They got their point across. Next week, tune in for this shit. Boom.
That's where I'm at with it too. Mm-hmm. And there is more to. Next week's funny. I'll just leave it at that. At least in my opinion. All right, we're going to give out some disability checks, and here's a spoiler. They're probably not going to be as high as the last week, just from my point of view. I am going to be hard on this week's episode, and it is going to get a 6.5 from me. Doc, what are you giving it?
You are an insane person.
Okay.
And I told these people, I told everybody here a long time ago, we're going to climb the hill, and once we get up there, we're going to stay there. We've climbed the hill. We're staying there. 6.5 is some kind of grade you give it. Episode 15, dude. This is episode 42. I'm giving this shit a 7.7. This is wrestling the way it used to be and wrestling the way I like it.
Okay. Whatever. Harper, you.
I gave it a 7. And to be honest with you, I would have given it lower, but the Kevin Sullivan promo was kind of a little treat, so I gave it a 7.
I just felt like next to the corny promo and Stan Lane's pelt being gone, to me, the two big things were Sullivan and corny and the pelt disappearing. So
BA,
I don't know.
BA fired up. You get the stomp announcement of the Stomper.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay, can I change my rating?
The matches have Rock and Roll, Smothers, Orndorff, and even though the Studs and Fantastics were a little disappointing, that's a main event match.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Man, we came off a week where the shit hit the fan, man. It's, you know what I'm saying? It's like you come off these, and it's a natural cycle to me with anything,
Sullivan
whether it's wrestling or anything.
Sullivan can't gig the roster every week, dude.
Right. That's why I say that. You can't bludgeon everybody. Because then you're hot shot in the territory, and that's not the thing to do. I mean, then you get insane with things. So I agree, Doc.
The thing of it is that when I'm trying to look at the big picture, in the past month, we've brought Sullivan and Smothers into the territory. So the roster is better. So if the roster is better, the matches and it would go that unless the booking is bad, and we know that's not the case here, then it would go, it would prove that the matches and the shows are going to be better.
That's true. That's true. You make a point there. You make a point. All right, we're going to give out the Government Cheese Award. First, I do want to say, once again, I did point you to the YouTube channel, so please check it out because I'm posting all kind of stuff, Mid-South related. I'm starting to post some Smoky Mountain stuff. I'm just starting to post old interviews and everything on there. So, again, go to tinyurl.com/BTTYouTube. Check it out. It used to be a great way to generate some revenue for the show. Unfortunately, now it's not generating next to anything what it was, but again, still check it out. There's some cool things. I'll try to put some of the local Smoky Mountain promos up soon as we go through this. Maybe there's a few up there already as you're listening to this, since we put this up a few weeks out. Also want to say thanks to all of the patrons, Steven CG72, Mike Havercroft, Sparks Third Coast, M. Wilson 1175, Voodoo Moon Baby, Frog Zeppelin, K Stone 9709, Lone Wolf GAM, Codeman 822, Jeff Adam William Dan and Jason Danvi, David Wayne G Twitus, Matt Armando Cedric Boone, and Marty. Thank you for being patrons. If I missed anyone there, it's just that we are recording this a few weeks out, and that is the reason for it. Thanks for being patrons. Again, 8 free shows a month. Please consider becoming a patron. Plans start at a very low price. While the flagship shows are free and will always be free, being a patron is a great way to not only show some love to the show and help support the show that you love, but we've got patron episodes out there that are only for the patrons that will give you some more gut-busting laughter. The best way to sign up, or easiest way, go to tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. Sign up there and help us out. Now, again, there's some different patron levels. Even if you don't want to, you can contribute anything you want. So even if it's only $2, $4 a month, whatever it is, you can sign up for less if you wanted to or whatnot, but we'd appreciate it. And then shout out to the Hall of Famer patrons, William Shepard at ShepDaddy32, Marty Howell, at Martin Howell 71 Twitter, at Tim Morecci, TimMoreci, at Codeman 822, again, and at Unconvinced Ray. They are our Hall of Famers and our big time patron supporters. So thank you very much for that. And then lastly, before we get into the government cheese, tinyurl.com/BTT Amazon is the link to go to. If you are purchasing anything on Amazon, we would greatly appreciate it if you would go there for us. All right, Doc, I'll throw it to you first. Government Cheese Award, who are you giving it to?
Hold on, I was falling asleep with all this bullshit Twitter crap.
Yeah.
Dude, you go out into a field and start a fire and shoot a promo that long, you're getting the fucking government cheese. It's fucking Kevin Sullivan, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Harper, who you got?
I love his sidekick. The sidekick gets his government cheese.
Yeah, the cheese.
Did y'all ever see that movie Cat's Eye in the 80s? No? Okay.
I've seen a movie called Brown Eye.
That's nice. All right. Never mind then. Wow.
Wow. Wow. Oh, Jesus Christ. I've never seen it, Harper. What were you going to say about it, though?
No, there's a little character in it where that guy basically sounds just like him. And
you know what else it is? Remember that little furry creature that jumped around Jabba the Hutt in Return of the Jedi?
Yes, yes. I'm thinking of that too.
Yeah. here's the part where Mike tells us he's never seen Return of the Jedi.
I don't know what you're talking about, bro. What? Star Wars. What the fuck is that?
I just watched Menace to Society and Boys in the Hood, and that's it.
Let me tell you something.
Those are two great American classic.
They sure are, but I've seen more than that. I'm not black, but I've seen them. Maybe you should step outside of your comfort zone every once in a while and embrace multiculturalism, you fucking
bastard.
Next
thing you're going to do is you're going to tell me you can count the number of black people that have been in your house this year.
Well, there's been one and a half.
See?
Oh, wait, that was last year.
Well,
hold on. The guy who mows my yard was inside, too.
That's nice.
He had to use the bathroom.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on, man. He's being a heel now because Doc likes that guy. That's his best friend. He's being a heel. You stupid son of a bitch. I was about to say something, and I lost my train of thought. Thank you for that stupidity. You know, we have a very diverse audience, you asshole. Why would you act like that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. I'm trying to think, man. I don't really have anything else. You know, we gotta do episode 43 shortly. Episode 42 was a good one. I mean, I'm not complaining. It was better than anything we still see nowadays on TV. And, again, I got some promos that will play at the end of this episode. I think there's one or two. I know there's a snooze fest with Horner in there. But the Rock and Roll are also on one of the local promos as well. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Follow us on Twitter, at @BTT_podcast. Harper, what's yours?
At CJH, who that, right?
And I'm at Mike504Saints. Facebook page is facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Click the like button there, like the page, comment on the shows. And then lastly, while you're there also, click the shop now button. Go get you a Smoky Mountain Wrestling podcast t-shirt. Very, very cool design. They're flying off the shelves from our pro wrestling tee store. We'd appreciate it. I don't have anything else. So, you know, Doc, you got anything?
Nope.
Yep, we got to do 42 right now from November the 24th, 1982. 43, I'm sorry. And Harper, you got anything?
Nope.
That's a wrap. Episode 42 from November the 14th of 1992, Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. Harper, hit the tagline and get us out of here to whatever promos of the week are left over for us.
Book it, bitch.
Also, a lumberjack match, Thanksgiving night, in Hazard, White Lightning and Tim Horner against the Dirty White Boy.
You know, Brian, the White Boy is running scared. You know, every time we meet, I can't seem to keep you around long enough to get some satisfaction, if you know what I'm saying. Well, in Thanksgiving Thunder, right there in Hazard, I'm going to get some satisfaction because you owe some debts and I'm going to collect. right there in Thanksgiving Thunder. Eight guys around the ring, lumberjack match. Nowhere to go, white boy. If you want to run out, somebody's going to throw you back in, and then I'm going to take it from there. You know what I'm saying? If you want to jump on me, jump on. And when you get tired, I'll take over.
It's Thanksgiving Thunder, Thanksgiving night in Hazard. You'll see a match where falls count anywhere in the building between these guys, the Rock and Roll and the Heavenly Body.
That's right, falls count anywhere. Let me tell you something, Jim Cornette. Now, if we want to go to the floor, we won't get counted out, boy. That means we can beat you on the floor, up in the grandstand, anywhere it takes. Come on down to Heavenly Bodies. We got a match for you.
That's right, Thanksgiving night. And I know it's a holiday that Jimmy Cornette loves because it's a day that you eat. You see, Jimmy Cornette, I come out here and call you anything in the world. But I cannot call you late for supper, Jack. But right here, Thanksgiving night, falls count anywhere in a building. Jimmy Cornette, invite me at the supper table. We're going to be there because we are going to be the next Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions.
Let's go right now to Bob Caudle standing by with Jim Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies.
All right, Dutch, and right you are, and fans, here they are, the Heavenly Bodies. Jim Cornette, we just talked about and we mentioned the four faces of fear in there, Jim Cornette.
Yeah, you want to know what the face of fear is? Look at the faces on these people. This crowd looks like a giant casting call for the part of Boo Radley in the remake of To Kill a Mockingbird, but that may be too obscure a reference for this clientele, right, Stan?
You know, some of the end of November is a time of giving thanks. And believe you me, Jim Cornette's Heavenly Bodies have plenty to be thankful for. We're the best-looking team in professional wrestling. Every morning we get up, look in the mirror, and see that we're better-looking, and we're thankful for that, Bob Caudle. We're also thankful because we're the champions. We got the gold, and the most of all, the most important thing that we're thankful for, Mr. Caudle, is the fact that we're going to put an end to the Rock and Roll Express for good. Right, Tom?
You see, for 4 days of Thanksgiving Thunder, your lives are going to be complete and total hell, Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson, because for 4 days, four continuous days in Thanksgiving Thunder, we can either rub your face in barbed wire, we can destroy you in a Texas death match, or we can take you where falls count, wherever we want in the building. And we will, at Thanksgiving Thunder, we will end the Rock and Roll Express career once and for all.
Bob Caudle, Friday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, November 26th through 29th, Hazard, Kentucky, Welch, West Virginia, Johnson City, Tennessee, Knoxville, Tennessee, one place or another, Rock and Roll Express, you're going to play the part of Napoleon, and we're going to be Waterloo.
All right, fans. Thanksgiving Thunder, what an event it's going to be. We'll be back. We'll have more right after this. All right, and here comes, of course, Luke Dutch moving in right here with us. Here's the Dirty White Boy and Mr. Ron Wright, the manager of the Dirty White Boy. And let's get them a microphone over there, Dutch, to talk about, I'm sure, that they're going to have a few words to say about the lumberjack match with Tim Horner.
That's just some kind of gimmick that they've come up trying in another way to get my man down, getting four people out there to help hold a man in the ring to try to get Horner to get a victory over him. But let me tell you, we get to pick four men out of our stable, so we may not have four men out there that'll be man enough to throw my man back in the ring if he does get out.
Well, Horner's not going to pick it. He's not going to have
I've been chasing White Lightning, Tim Horner, all over every building, all over the east, the north, south. I've chased him everywhere. This is the only way that I could get Tim Horner in the ring.
All right, now you two, while you're here, and we want you to look at the action in the ring, too, because this is a match that we wanted on TV for a long time. These two teams right here, they're trying to make it to the top and get the contenders, top contender spot for the tag team title, and that's two outstanding tag teams in the ring.
Well, you got half of it right. The Stud Stable is definitely one of the top contenders across the country anywhere. But these Fulton boys, I don't know about them. I could probably put this heavyweight title up and take them both on and beat them both right in the middle.
Now, is that confidence for you,
that's
Bob?
That's coming directly, all right. That's
directly
right
from the Dirty White
Boy. All right, let me ask Mr. Ron Wright this question, because he's an expert on this. Do you think that Jim Cornette, now having to wrestle, is going to have any effect on him at Thanksgiving Thunder? He went wild out here a while ago.
Let me tell you, this Thanksgiving Thunder that they're pulling over on all of us is going to have a large, great, tremendous impact on wrestling all over the world, Mr. Caudle. You can bank on that.
All right, Dutch, and in the ring right now, here is Jackie Fulton. Down goes Jimmy Golden from that big block. You got two big men in there right now, in Fulton and Golden.
Pulling the tights, pulling the tights, and Fulton, boys. There's no worldwide for cheating.
Well, you see, any time you get the Fultons together, they're brothers, and they say blood is thicker than water, of course, but they cheat. They just try to pretend like they don't. They're pretenders. They're not contenders. They're pretenders.
Have you guys got any special things you're going to be doing, any special plans for the Lumberjack match?
Yeah, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to beat White Lightning Tim Horner's stinking brains out, pin him right in the middle of the ring, and then walk out the Smoky Mountain heavyweight champion.
Just like that?
Just like that. It's simple. It's like going to the store, buying a gallon of milk. If you got the money, you can buy the milk. If not, get out of the store.
All right, absolutely. Hit scissors right there by Golden. And what about that, Mr. Wright?
I really agree with this Lumberjack match and this whole week of this Thanksgiving Thunder they're calling it. That's not my ideal of professional wrestling, but if Tim Horner, if we need four men out there to keep Tim Horner throwed up there in the ring for my beloved Dirty White Boy to whip him, then that's exactly how the outcome of that thing will be. We'll keep him throwed back up in the ring where my man can manhandle Mr. Tim Horner.
All right, fans, these three right here are looking forward to that six-man tag team match with the Heavenly Bodies and Jim Cornette. Right,
Next week, we're going to have us a party next week. Personally, I've got one thing in mind. I'm going to take care of Jim Cornette while my two partners here are going to take care of the rest.
That's right, Bob. You know, Jimmy Cornette always come out here running his big mouth, telling the whole world what he's going to do to the Rock and Roll Express. But you see, Jimmy Cornette, we always have an ace in the hole. I'm talking about the hands of stone, Ronnie Garvin. So stick your nose in that ring, baby, and bam, one, two, three, out goes the lights, baby. Yeah.
All right, fans, it's the dream match, the six-man tag team dream match right here next week. We'll see you then, and until then, so long for now.